You see what I'm saying here? Mogi Huma every day is the executive director of the National Collegiate Players Association. They were laughing at this guy and his organization a couple years ago when they formed it. The what? The huh? What you're doing? What? What? Hey, Ramogi, they're not laughing now, man. How you doing?
It's going good. It's going good. We got some progress going. So a lot of wind behind the sails of this movement and protecting college athletes. So it's been a good year so far.
You know, and the lords of the sport haven't really helped their cause, have they? In recent times.
Oh no, not at all. I mean, it's been a lot of years now. We've been trying to push for just basic protections for college athletes. You know, there's no reason that while these players are generating billions of dollars that they should be stuck with sports-related medical bills and lose their scholarship when they're injured. And, you know, it's just kind of a system that's been one-sided for too long. And we felt that the college athletes needed a voice and a way to really bring about some change. And the powers that be haven't been willing to do it. So some of the players have been taken to the courts and finding other means of leverage.
Yeah, the insiders in the sport call it being processed when it's time to run you out of a particular program. You have told me in the past there was a guy over at NC State that got hurt in the court in the field of play. I think he was a football player. You were telling me that they stuck him with his medical bills. I mean, we're talking about on the field of play. It's been optional, right? Until now, until recent times, as you guys have shined the light on this, and the kids up at Northwestern have shined the light. It's been sort of optional to this point, hasn't it? Whether or not they pick up the tab.
Well, unfortunately, it's still optional, and people don't know it. If you see somebody go down on the field or on the court, the school is not obligated to pay one penny in medical expenses. You know, sometimes schools do, sometimes schools don't, but especially for former players. You know, former players are kind of left high and dry if they need a surgery a few years down the line from a sports-related injury. And there's more than enough money coming in. You know, if you look at the new TV revenue alone for the power conferences, the college football playoff, the NCAA tournament, there's over $1.2 billion in brand new TV revenue coming in, and a portion of that can more than pay for some of these basic protections. But, you know, the schools have been extremely greedy, and even on just basic matters of health and safety, they haven't wanted to do the right thing.
Yeah, we're not even talking about the O'Bannon case that I wanted to get you on and get your response to. This is just, we're talking about general decency here, just general decency, because now, Ramogi, what they're talking about in light of the Northwestern deal, and you and I both know there will be another team, there will be another vote, there's going to be another time. This is not over. In fact, it's far from over. Am I wrong in saying that it's far from over?
Oh, yeah. This is more of the beginning of real change, and, you know, really we're winning some key battles. You know, the Northwestern football players stood together and said, look, we have rights, the same rights as other American citizens, and we appreciate what's going on here in terms of our opportunities, but this is a professional sport, you know, just like the pros, and everything is commercialized, professionalized, and that's okay. You know, this is America, and professionalism is celebrated everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But to pretend that it's not and then deny players basic protections while they generate billions of dollars is no longer an option for players to sit back and allow that to happen. So those players stood up, and there will be more to come, definitely.
Now the Northwestern guys, they vote yay or nay, or do we know yet?
We don't know yet. So Northwestern appealed. We won the decision that college athletes are employees with the right to unionize. They had a vote. There was a lot of high-pressure anti-union vote on the campus, and so, you know, we're uncertain what happened with the vote. The only way we're going to know is if the NLRB, which Northwestern appealed this to the full NLRB in D.C., so they will decide whether or not the decision was correct, whether or not college athletes are employees. If they are, then the vote will be revealed and we'll know what happened. If we lose that appeal, then the vote will remain sealed and no one will ever know. But I think the important thing is really the decision itself. You know, if they rule in our favor, that means college athletes at private schools anyways are immediately considered employees by the federal government, and they have rights under the labor law. If Northwestern players decided to vote no, they can vote yes down the line in the future after 12 months. So, you know, it's not a permanent vote if they vote no or yes. They can always change their mind 12 months later. But the most important thing is a precedent. Are college athletes employees in the eyes of the federal government?
When does the NLRB ruling happen, Ramogi?
It's really on their timetable. You know, it could be in the next several months. It could be sometime next year. It's really hard to say. I've been more than eager, you know, trying to figure out the timeline, and our lawyers, they really can't pin it down. And it's really up to the NLRB on what they prioritize and how they decide to go forward. But the O'Bannon ruling definitely helps as well, because the NCAA put a lot of the same defenses, or Northwestern used a lot of the same defenses that the NCAA used, and all of that fell and was stricken down as irrelevant. So we're pretty optimistic.
Are you shocked when you go inside the guts of this thing internally as you first started this cause? And we had you on several years ago when you first started this organization, and folks used to snicker at you, and they don't snicker anymore. But it seems to me, when the NCAA gets into a court of law, I said earlier on the show, I'm a big Philadelphia Phillies fan, they're like the Phillies in the court of law. I mean, they've got 10,000 losses, brother, and we are counting, okay? They can't get out of their own way in a court of law. Does it surprise you how futile and how poor they are and how poor their defense was in that O'Bannon case?
Not at all. You know, over the years, we've been able to really put together a platform and kind of really debate a lot of these issues, you know, whether or not this is truly amateurism. The word student-athlete, can it be used to deny players basic protections? And actually, that word was invented back in the 50s in order to skirt labor laws. They knew they were paying players to play, and they wanted to get around paying workers' compensation. So we knew a lot of the information, and we were happy to see. I mean, this is the thing. When you try to negotiate with the NCAA and try to bring them to the table, first of all, they don't sit down. And they ignore you. So you got to go outside. And the players' options, the only real options have been the courts and the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board. Those are the other two options outside. And we're winning. From people who are objectively looking at this information as to whether or not college athletes have rights, the same rights as other Americans under these laws, it's very clear. It's very clear that the NCAA is operating illegally, and the players do have rights. So this is really the beginning of change.
You know, some people say that what you're advocating for is going to ruin what's left of college football. I'm sure you hear that. How do you respond to that, Ramogi?
Not at all. You know, the games are going to be the same. They're going to go on. Everybody's going to be able to go tailgate, you know, have fun watching all the basketball, football games, all the sports. It's not going to destroy college sports. And I point to a couple of things. Number one is, you know, they say, well, they can't afford to give players better protections. And that's false. I just pointed out $1.2 billion in brand new revenue. Mm. That was a study done by Sports Business Journal released in December. Just to put that in perspective, and this is not a proposal, but if you were to divide that by every football and basketball player in the nation, that would be $90,000 in brand new money per player per year. Mm. I mean, more than enough to cover health care, more than enough to make sure if they get injured, their scholarship will be in place. So there's plenty of money that way. In addition to that, all the other divisions, you know, from Division Two, Division Three, even NAIA high school, you know, they all field sports. You know, there's no revenue. It's all non-revenue sports. You know, there's not big football and basketball subsidizing the other sports, and it's not necessary. It's kind of one of those things that the NCAA pretends needs to happen, but evidence of that, you can look at Division Two, where they give full scholarships, and over 300 schools sponsor sports, all non-revenue across the athletic program, and they play intercollegiate games. They have full schedules. They hire coaches. They travel. So you don't need luxury boxes and stadiums every other year being built in order to run an intercollegiate program. So between cost savings of reducing some of the expenditures and the brand new money coming in, there's more than enough. It's not going to ruin the sport.
Another gentleman asks here on Twitter, and I just want to fire a couple questions at you here, Ramogi, because it's very rare that we get you. And folks are concerned, you know, about this event. I think a lot of people are really sympathetic to what you're saying. I mean, I make no bones about where I stand with you, Ramogi. I'm with you lock, stock, and barrel on this issue. Andrew asks, are you currently prepared to educate players on tax implications of being employees, i.e. that the benefits they're going to receive are taxable? Does that become a concern for you?
No, we've actually looked into that. Okay. The tax law is pretty clear on athletic scholarships. So athletic scholarships are actually taxable already. The room and board portion is taxable. It has been since, I think it was a 70s ruling. The other portion of the scholarship, tuition, fees, and books, are not taxable. We're not advocating changing the nature of payment. So athletic scholarships would still be the form of payment. You know, if there was additional stipends or a trust fund, those portions would be taxable as well. But it would be a net gain to the players. It wouldn't be a net loss. But athletic scholarships are treated special. You know, they've actually been teased out. They've been addressed specifically. And athletic scholarships are still the form of payment. If the school wanted to decide to stop paying in athletic scholarships and just pay, you know, cut a check for $23,000 per year, which is average scholarship overall, that would be a different story. But we're not advocating for that.
You're not advocating for payment. You're advocating for a guarantee of scholarship, and then you don't lose your scholarship in the advent of injury, and then or the event of injury, and then also the other side of that is when injury does occur, you would like full compensation from the school, and even for a certain period after the after a career expires. Is that sort of what you're looking for?
Yeah, those are some of the things we're looking for. We are looking for an increase in the scholarship because every athletic scholarship in the nation is actually capped below the price tag of the school. Most of the players don't know that. Most of the public doesn't know that, but the NCAA admits it when pressed. But so it's about $3,000 per player per year to bring that scholarship up to equal the cost of attendance to cover the basic necessities. We are also advocating for a portion of some of those new revenues to go into an educational trust fund that will encourage degree completion. You know, if players need another semester or two to graduate, they could tap into some of those funds, and we feel like that's the best use of the money. After all, this is supposed to be about education. What better way to use the new revenue than to actually incentivize and support graduation rates? So those are some of the financial proposals that we'd like to see happen. But again, if those two things happened, it would be a net gain for players. It wouldn't activate any kind of new taxes on their tuition fees and books.
Ramon Guhuma joining us. He's the executive director of the National Collegiate Players Association. Ramon, in light of the O'Bannon decision on appeal, are you afraid of the NCAA on appeal? And then I understand that you also have an organization that started as an offshoot of the Northwestern case. Introduce that if you can. First, the appeal in the O'Bannon case.
Sure. It looks like the NCAA is going to appeal that decision. First of all, the decision itself was very clear. You know, the NCAA is operating in a legal cartel. They're illegally price fixing and denying players their commercial values while they're using these players in video games and other non-educational ways.
Mm-hmm.
But they did, the NCAA said that they were going to appeal it. I think that, again, you know, I think that once objective people look at it, it's a slam dunk. I don't think their appeal is going to be effective. So, but I think it's going to be part of the process. But what's interesting is during the appeal, the injunction is not going to be stayed, meaning the injunction is in full effect after the next recruiting cycle. So by our calculations, I know that 2016 keeps getting thrown around, but our interpretation is that by next school year, the players would be able to receive, again, the cost of attendance bump from, I mentioned the scholarship shortfall. They'll be able to get a little bit more money there. And also a trust fund up to $5,000 per player per year for their publicity rights to be put away for a receipt after their eligibility expires. But I'm not too afraid of the appeal. I think if this looked at objectively, the players are going to win and prevail. In terms of the new organization that was formed at the beginning of the year, it was the first college athletes union that was formed. So just to be clear, the NCPA is a nonprofit, but a separate organization. And I serve as the president of the separate organization. It's called CAPA, the College Athletes Players Association. It's the union that the Northwestern football players signed union cards for and voted on in the spring. So that organization is looking to provide college athletes with a way to collectively bargain, just like the other pro sports. You know, and I know people get a little nervous sometimes when you talk about unions and everything else, but in America, professional sports athletes, they form unions. And it works well, actually. There's been very few labor disputes in the last 30 years. It's a very good system, and players have an equal seat at the table. They get to negotiate basic protections. And case in point was the NFLPA's efforts on concussions. And for me personally, after over 10 years of advocating almost in vain as a nonprofit, you know, I looked and saw the players' union for the NFL players be effective in getting really good protections to minimize the risk of concussions and brain trauma. The NCAA Sports would not meet with us on this. They have not adopted any of those reforms from the NFL, and it's been years. And to me, it's not an option to sit back and not exert full leverage. when players' brains are at risk. And just to give your viewer, your listeners an example, you know, college athletes are at risk too. Just as they face the same risk as the NFL players. There was a player at Penn University back in 2010. He committed suicide at the age of 21, Owen Thomas. And he was found to have CTE at the age of 21. So college football players face the same risk, and the NCAA is doing nothing. So no longer an option to sit back and pray that NCAA sports grows a conscience on this thing. Players need to exert full leverage.
Ramogi, really appreciate your time. Northwestern, on the way out, obviously private university. You talked about the NLRB deal before. Will we see this at a public university, a vote similar to what we saw at Northwestern? And what needs to happen for that to occur?
We definitely plan to empower players at both public and private schools. For the public schools, it's all determined by state law. Some states have laws that are very supportive. Some states have laws that are very poor in terms of an opportunity to actually win and give players an opportunity to join.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a big maze. You know, there's 50 states, and mm-hmm. you know, all of them are a little bit different on labor law. So it'll be somewhat of a way to navigate. But we'll definitely see some activity with some of the public schools. I believe we're going to reach a critical mass to where the majority of players are going to be empowered and have an equal seat at the table. And I think recruits are going to take notice. You know, recruits and their families are going to want to go somewhere where players have representation to ensure their basic protection.
You know, one of my gamers in my audience wants to know, Ramogi, on the way out, does EA Sports make games again, or does this now cost them money and they won't do it?
No, right now the NCAA basically pulled the plug on the EA Sports games for now. And I think, you know, and this is something, you know, and a lot of players love the game. They, you know, they like being in it.
Yeah.
But we wanted to make sure that their rights aren't being trampled, that they're not being robbed in the meantime, you know. And so EA Sports, I believe that once this O'Bannon case is settled and some of these issues, there's several different court cases. But once players' rights are exerted, I think the games will be produced again.
Mm.
But for now, the NCAA, you know, with all the scrutiny and the pressure, they've stopped producing the game.
And will they eventually pay your organization? How does the money filter down to the players? How will that work?
No, our organization, you know, there's no, you know, plans or mechanism for that to happen. It would, you know, it would be to be determined. You know, I mean, there's various ways. There could be a third-party organization maybe managing some of that, or possibly the NCAA itself or the schools themselves putting away money earmarked for the players, but bound maybe by law or contract to actually give the money to the players so that there's no, you know, loopholes. So, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to do it. But at the end of the day, you know, we've been advocating for players to get more of their value. If they're going to be used commercially,
absolutely,
which is fine, they need to be able to receive some of that value just like any other American citizen would. And it's fine to wait till after they're done with their eligibility. They don't have to receive it while they're playing. But we need justice for these guys. Just because you label them student-athletes doesn't mean they're not American citizens.
Ramogi, keep up the great, not good fight, keep up the great fight. Really appreciate what you guys are doing. And in my mind, the NCAA has completely brought this on themselves. As you said earlier, very eloquently, we have schools around us at Division II level here locally in Carson Newman, Tusculum, those types of schools. They field full football teams, full baseball teams, full basketball teams with scholarship athletes. How are they doing it, Ramogi, without crass commercialism? How are they doing it? It's so eloquent the way you put that, and it stopped me in my tracks. And if folks want to find out more information, Ramogi, about what you're doing, how do they do that?
They can go to ncpanow.org or follow Kappa, collegeathletespa.org. Those are the two organizations. They're also on Twitter as well. Twitter is really, you get the blow by blow and kind of get a stay up on current events. So I encourage listeners, if they're interested, to follow us on Twitter.
Ramogi, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Ramogi Huma, one more time. That is some interesting stuff. I was talking with young Christian Lundy during the break. Before he came on, I said, hey, if a guy's hurt and fail to play, they don't have to pay for it. He said, yeah, they do. I said, no, actually, they don't. He said, that's impossible. I said, if you go back and you look at what happened with Kevin Ware, the first thing the Louisville spokesman said, the first thing he said is, we are going to take care of his full recovery. We are going to pay for it, as if that was news. I mean, I would have thought that's a given. But that, in fact, was news. And that's a shame.